A lot of people say, I can't be a public speaker because I haven't had something ridiculously horrible happen to me, or I'm not a celebrity, or I haven't had some type of crazy, like scaling Mount Everest. They say, I'm just a mom, or I just went through a divorce, or I just built a business, just like all of those things are easy, right? But the difference between someone who is just like, oh, I'm going to talk about divorce and how it helped me build resilience, and the person who does that and gets booked over and over again is using story structures and clarity within the story structure to create that emotional connection. It is incredibly moving and powerful. We hear about some incredibly capital T trauma thing that happened to someone. I've been moved by my students telling their stories about themselves falling off their bikes.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications to help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
In this episode, we're igniting the mic with a true powerhouse in purpose-driven storytelling and transformative leader. Alaya Harris is the spark for your spark, a strategic storytelling consultant, best-selling author, award-winning speaker, and the unstoppable CEO of the Evolution Collective. She's not only captivated audiences in over 125 podcasts and 100 stages worldwide, but she's also a former Google vendor partner and marketing executive who now helps entrepreneurs and executives excavate their radically authentic stories. Oh, and did I mention she was once Stevie Wonder's private chef? Yeah, she's got stories for days. Alaya is a founder and lead trainer of Spark the Stage, the host of award-winning Flourishing Entrepreneur podcast, and a best-selling author of Spark the Stage, Master the Art of Professional Speaking and Authentic Storytelling. Her work has revolutionized the way leaders communicate, inspiring lasting impact both within organizations and out in the world. Get ready to get lit up by her insight, wisdom, and unshakable belief in the power of your story. Welcome, Alaya, to the Business Superfan Podcast Show. We're excited to have you this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
So, Alaya, what is the backstory of how did you get started into doing public speaking and talking about storytelling and all the things that you do?
So I started public speaking when a business mentor of mine pointed out that it was one of the best ways to grow my business. And they were right. I got on my first stage as a little bit of a fluke. I applied to speak at one of my goal conferences. After the deadline, I didn't know what I was doing back then, but it happened that someone canceled and the organizer chose me to replace them, which had to have been fate because this is a large conference. There are probably a lot of other people that she could have chosen. And I didn't at the time have a speaker reel or really much of anything that would prove that I was worthy of the slot, but she gave it to me anyways. And speaking begets speaking. So then I just kept speaking from there. And once I got into it, I was able to use public speaking to grow my business to $250,000 in 6 months. And it's not just because anybody can do that from the stage and get on stage and you'll get $250,000. It was because I tapped into my authenticity. I was very clear about where I spoke, who I would speak to, and why I would speak there. And I also understood the power of connecting with human beings because people do business with other humans, not with screens and websites. So public speaking is one of the very few ways where you get to transmit your message to a lot of people at once and still make that human connection.
Yeah, I've done some public speaking myself, a few instances years ago, and I've actually got paid too. It was fun. It was an experience, and it was engaging to communicate with the audience and share your story and see the transformation when you're driving points home. You can see people's expressions going, oh, yeah, I should be doing that. And that's what gives you the energy to keep going. I've been looking to get back into doing that because I did have a lot of fun. And my now wife says that I come alive when I'm actually speaking on stuff that I really care about. And you do the same thing.
I definitely do. And shameless plug, Freddie D, if you need some help getting on that stage, I happen to have a program that's called Spark the Stage that can help you do just that. That's to you, Freddie D, and all of your listeners out there in podcast land.
And it's important because business owners can actually leverage that to help build their brand in creating awareness for the businesses that they're in.
I mean, that's the main reason to speak. So people can become public speakers, make revenue from speaking. And that's wonderful. And I do make quite a bit of revenue from speaking. However, I don't like to just make revenue off of something once. What if you were speaking, making the revenue from speaking and then speaking to the right people to get revenue from them as clients for consulting, coaching, products or services? That's how I encourage people to speak. But it always still boils down to how good of a speaker you are and what you're saying.
Well, it goes back to the story. What's the story that you're sharing and how does that impact people and how does that transform people? Really becomes the important part of the conversation, because otherwise you could be just talking about whatever. And if it doesn't resonate and doesn't inspire and doesn't invigorate, then you're just talking to yourself.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because it really is all about the story, but it's even more about how you structure your story. A lot of people say, I can't be a public speaker because I haven't had something ridiculously horrible happen to me, or I'm not a celebrity, or I haven't had some type of crazy, like scaling Mount Everest. They say, I'm just a mom, or I just went through a divorce, or I just built a business, just like all of those things are easy, right? But the difference between someone who is just like, oh, I'm going to talk about divorce and how it helped me build resilience. And the person who does that and gets booked over and over again is using story structures and clarity within the story structure to create that emotional connection. It is incredibly moving and powerful. We hear about some incredibly capital T trauma thing that happened to someone. I've been moved by my students telling their stories about themselves falling off their bikes and what that did for their identity and sense of self. I've equally cried at people talking about their relationship with their parents, not because there's been some capital T trauma there, but because they had a story structure that made it easy for my brain to follow and easy for me to pull down and distill the common human lesson, the common emotions within the story, and then apply it to my own life.
Yeah, it's just like watching a movie because you get emotionally connected to the story and that pulls you in. Sometimes you go, man, that was an incredible story. And it stays with you. You remember it. And then you end up creating a super fan because you share that story with other people. That's how brands develop and grow, because of word of mouth. People are sharing the experience they had.
Absolutely. It's the reason why. Have you seen the Disney movie Up?
I have not.
Oh, man, you got to see it. Get the tissues out. It's funny. It's sad. It's emotionally heart-wrenching. And at the brass tacks of it, it's a story about a grumpy old man who has lost his wife and his healing journey after that and how he happens to do it with the aid of balloons and a dog, right? losing a loved one is very traumatic. It's the way the story is told and the investment you have in the characters and how you're able to see your own story through that story that makes up any great movie. And that's what professional speakers are doing from the stage. My definition of a professional public speaker is a performance artist who shares helpful information from the stage, whether the stage is virtually or in person. If you think of yourself as a performance artist rather than this sage on stage who has all the information and all the knowledge, and you're creating almost a group performance between you and the audience, and you're sharing in something deep and profound, that's when you know that you've got them. That's when you're talking about those moments where your audience is captivated and compelled to continue listening to you. That's when you know that you're doing it right.
Yep, totally agree. I remembered those feelings. You can see it on their faces that they're emotionally getting connected to that. That plays into the business world as well, because you need to develop the story in your company for your team to be on the same page. The culture you create in a company is all about the energy that you're creating and the story that you're sharing to develop your brand and everything else. And that tonality, that energy comes across. So if you're not appreciating your team, because you're one of these business managers that says, well, these people should be thankful that I'm giving them a job. And we've all run into those type of individuals. And then they wonder why their businesses can't scale, why their people are leaving their companies and everything else. Maybe you should look in the mirror, but that's another conversation. The reality is that comes across. Prospective customer calls in and someone goes, yeah, hi, how can we help you? You know, you're going to go, I'm not sure about this company. You're going to get that feeling, that energy is going to come across and it's something's not there. Versus somebody who goes, hey, Alea, thank you for calling us. We're excited. How can we help you? You go, oh, man, there's energy. It's going to attract you to that business.
The energy flow often gets either a bad rap, because in business people say, oh, that's so woo-woo, or that's, you know, you don't want to just rub crystals on it. You have to work really hard. Or it gets misunderstood. When energy is flowing between you and whatever your source of that energy is and out to the audience, it takes the pressure off that you have to be and know everything for yourself and everyone, and every word has to be perfect, every slide has to be perfect, and every movement on stage has to be perfect. And it opens you up to a stream of energy, a stream of flow, a stream of consciousness that allows you to know that whatever happens in that room is exactly what needs to happen. I purposely keep my slides when I give presentations. Slides are not the reason why people are there to see me. They're not there to read slides. They're there to have an experience. They're there to have someone help facilitate their own transformation. So I keep my slides simple so that I remain open to the energy of the room. If I need to adjust or tell a different story or have a different group experience, because I understand that everyone comes to you exactly as they are. And that might not be how you thought they were going to come or what you thought that day was going to look like. But if you tapped into that energy of connection, the energy of humanity, the energy of your radically authentic self, then you will always say the right thing every time and help transform at least one person in that audience.
And you talk about building thriving cultures. So let's talk about that a little bit.
So I am a public speaker, yes, but at the core of me, what brings everything together for me is I'm a strategic storytelling consultant. I love stories. I love story structures. It's more about the power that stories have over ourselves, over our connection, over our community, and over our culture. The story that you tell yourself about yourself is then manifested in the life that you lead around you. You tell yourself you're broke. You tell yourself you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. Well, then you look around. You're not going to have a lot of money. You're probably going to have some health issues, you probably are not going to be happy in your life because of a story that you're telling yourself. When you're able to change that story and embed it into yourself, then you will start to experience different results. That's the same when it comes to corporate culture. Corporate cultures develop whether we like it or not. They develop unintentionally and accidentally until you intentionally decide the type of corporate story you would like to develop. With that in mind, you have to take the jargon out and realize that corporate culture is just a bunch of individual, fallible, broken people in a room trying to make money by selling a product or service. And the relationship that they are building between each other creates this culture.
Yep.
The culture story is created intentionally when you understand that the individual stories inform the greater culture stories. So the work that I do is about helping people understand what their individual stories are, how that fits within a larger cultural context within a workplace, and then how to decide what those behaviors that look like based off of that individual and corporate story. And how do you see yourself as a character in that story? What role are you playing? Why is it important that this story includes you? And if you don't participate, what are the ramifications of that for you and for the company? Cultural storytelling is probably my favorite. I like differentiation storytelling because that just leads to straight up money all the time for people. But cultural storytelling is my favorite because it lets people realize that they can belong anywhere as long as they are able to understand how to tell their story and find how it fits within someone else's. It gives people a foundational sense of comfort and security that many are not able to find in other places.
Absolutely correct. And the thing that's important there is getting everybody in a company culture onto the same story. Even though they may have their own individual stories, collectively, they've got to be going in the same direction. Otherwise, the businesses can't scale. That's the difference in creating business superfans. It starts in a company culture because people that are happy where they work. For example, my wife has been working with the company 7 years, positioning the company in a certain way, but she loves the company. They take care of their team. They appreciate her. She wins prizes. We went on a 5-week honeymoon. The company picked up 4 weeks of that and paid for her, which is unheard of in American businesses.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. But those are the little things that I always say, the little things are the big things. And people overlook that. One of my quotes in my book, Creating Business for Fans, is people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition. Right? And it's not given. When you're talking about creating that story and that individual story, you're absolutely correct. If you think you're broke, guess what? You're going to be broke because you're going to manifest that. And if you think you're successful and you're a rock star and everything else, guess what? You're going to manifest that because your subconscious doesn't know any different. It delivers what you tell it to deliver, right?
Absolutely. I always say, you know, because people will say, oh, that's not true. I think I'm rich, but I look around and I have no money. And I tell people that the angels answer the prayers that you pray within the back of your head, not out of your mouth. You might say all of these things, all big and bold, but in the back of your head, you're not really believing it, or you're not really living it. Like a simple example is, say that there is a piece of clothing you want to buy, a dress or a blazer or something. And you can always tell what prayer you're really praying when you look at the thing and you say, oh, I love it. And then the next sentence that comes after that, I love it. I put all the money in my bank account, but I'm going to get that dress. That's someone who has an abundance mentality, a growth mentality, possibility mentality, versus I see that dress. Oh, I can't afford that. Oh, I'm broke. Must be nice to wear that dress. That's someone who is going to struggle with financial abundance because the true story you're telling yourself is what happens in the back of your head.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'll share a story. When I got divorced, I would go to the Mercedes dealership and I'd sit in a 500 SL. The guy or the gal would come along and said, I'm just looking at the car. In my mind, I was manifesting, this is my car. I got to know that car. And guess what? I ended up buying that car. Not that one, but I did buy a 500 SL. They came by to show me how it operates. I'm good. I know this.
Congratulations. Besting that.
Thank you. It does happen, and that's why I wanted to share this story, because it does happen if you actually believe in it and you let the energy, the universe, go to work.
Absolutely. And I know that for some people that feels very woo. And to that I say, give it a try. Is the other way working out for you?
Exactly.
How's that anxiety working out for you? Are you getting rich through your anxiety and worry? Are you getting rich through telling yourself you're not valuable, that you're not worthy? Are you getting rich through jealousy, comparison? Probably not. So it's not like you have something to lose by trying it differently, by changing your story.
Change the movie in your head.
If you're honest right now, you don't have anything to lose.
Correct.
And I offer it that you give yourself a challenge and say, well, what if you went and tried on that dress or that blazer? Like you, or you did what Freddie B said, you sat in that car, then what?
I opened up the compartments. I got familiar with the gauges. I knew where everything is, what was going on. It was my car. Mentally, it was my car. I didn't have it, but that's my car.
Yep. Exactly. And that's how life works. People think that the story is told and then you get to live it. But no, you have to live and breathe the new story and then watch it manifest. You breathe it in the back of your head. You say those prayers. You watch your thoughts, because the story that you're telling to others is not the same story you're telling yourself. It's the same reason why we look at Robin Williams and we're like, he died by suicide. What we all saw from him was happy comedian, jokester, successful actor. But the story that he showed was not the story he was telling. So what story are you telling? And that is your real life, not the life that you want everybody else to see.
And that applies to business as well, because we're talking about helping businesses. And storytelling is very important in a business, because just like you just said, what you're telling yourself as a business owner transcends to the team, whether you realize it or not. And that in turn affects the growth of the business, creating super fans of customers, communication with suppliers, distributors, and complementary businesses. The whole ecosystem is affected, because what you're artificially projecting is not really what's happening, and people will catch on. And then all of a sudden, you're wondering why people are leaving this company, because the culture's contaminated. And it all starts with what the business owner or the manager has got in their head.
Yep, exactly. Your head and whatever you have in your head severely and sincerely impacts the amount of money you have in your bank account. What you think about you and what you think about yourself is what your business will experience. And there's just no other way around it.
No.
That's storytelling in action.
You look at some of the great brands that are out there, people love working for those companies. People line up to buy those products. You look at Apple, you know, there's a cult following for Apple. Mm-hmm. People, it's not about the gadget, it's the story that the gadget creates.
Absolutely. It is the story that the gadget creates. And whether the gadget is an actual gadget or whether it is a gadget that ends up being your service, your consulting, or whatever, the story is the most important. And most people also get it slightly off that it's just your story, but you're only telling your story so that other people can see why you are an inextricable part of their story, why they need you to guide them along their path to success.
Exactly.
That's a
very important point that people need to realize, business owners need to realize, is that everybody on their team has a story. And you need to acknowledge everybody's story and let them be heard, because that story creates the culture of that company. If everybody understands everybody else's story, they collectively team together. And remember, when I got in the tech world 45 years ago, there's a friend of mine that we'd been friends for 45 years. We both started the same day and we're like, who do you know? I don't know anybody here. Well, why don't we hang out together? He actually ended up living with me, renting a room out of my place. We created stories of things that we did, and we still talk about those stories when we reach out to one another. Remember when we did all that stuff and what was happening? We had a team that would go camping together, go to baseball games together, because everybody was part of the story.
Everyone was part of the story. Aaron, that's how you build business. That's money. Money happens in relationship. Yep. I always talk about marketing as the art and science of building lucrative relationships. Money happens when you are in relationship, which is basically building a shared story. Culture happens on large scale and small scale, even between groups of two or three individuals. When you build that story, that's when you're in flow, in connection, in the money. Until then, you're going to struggle. And isolation is bad for your cash flow.
It's bad for cash flow, your health, all of it, really, at the end of the day, because I was involved with the company and providing some consulting services. One of the things that they would do is they would onboard somebody. They wouldn't share the story of what the company was all about. The mission, instead, this is, you know, this is your job, this is your training, and it was verbal training. There were no SOPs in place, or here's the manual and everything else. And then the following week, you'd be making a mistake because you're new in a job and you're trying to figure it out, and you got verbally trained, so we only remember 20% of that story. And these owners would chastise this individual in front of everybody, not privately. So what story did that transcend to the entire team? And then they were wondering why everybody was quitting after 90 days. Because you can only handle so much of the negativity. People were starting to come up, says, I can't stay here anymore because I'm feeling not worthy myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's amazing what a sense of lack of worthiness does to a culture. It creates infighting, creates a lack of collaboration. It creates attrition, right? Yeah. People think of the core causes of problems as infighting, but then you need to go down a little bit further into that and realize that no, it's people's individual limiting beliefs become corporate limiting beliefs that decide what that culture is going to end up as.
Exactly. And they had hit a ceiling of about $1 million and just couldn't punch through it. They didn't have the skill set to punch through it. I took over running that company and made a lot of changes, and we grew by $1 million in a year. And this was small chunks of change, not $1,000, $5,000 deals. We're talking $100, $200, you know, deals, because they were providing interpreting services. So, you know, one of the things I did was I started transforming the culture, and we were working with independent contractors that were the interpreters, started to edify the interpreters, started recognizing and appreciating them because they were the face of the business. The mindset was that they should be happy we're giving them some business, which was where their mindset was at.
Yeah, no, it's all about the mindset. It's all about what you have decided your role will be in that company, whether it's intentional or unintentional. You will decide that you are going to contribute to a positive culture, which will involve you also contributing to a positive sense of self and leadership and adding value to other people's lives as well as the lives of your clients, or not. And it's up to you to let everybody know through your actions how you plan to participate.
Whichever direction you go, you're correct in the outcome.
Absolutely.
You think you're not going to make it? Guess what? You're absolutely correct. You're not going to make it. You think you're going to be successful and punch through? Guess what? You'll be successful and punch through.
Absolutely. When you are successful and you punch through, then there's also the need to make sure that you change your story. You realize that you have been successful, because often what draws people back is that they're so focused on the punching through and the effort and the challenge that that takes that they don't stop to realize once they've actually made it and they've done the thing and they stay in that survival mode and they stay in the struggle mode. And unfortunately, all that does is keep you stuck in a story that you've outgrown. And that happens to a lot of companies that have their founders still heavily involved and they're not willing to let go and to help them see the next level and the next stage of growth, because they're stuck on, oh, well, we got to be scrappy. We're just this little company. Well, no, you're not little company anymore. You've grown, you've developed, you've explored what it means to be successful and you've made it. Now tell that story and act like it. There's, of course, always other challenges, but if you stay stuck in a story that no longer resonates with you, your company will get stuck as well.
You'll manifest the reality of where you're thinking. Because you bring up a great point here, Alea, and that is that businesses need to change their story as they evolve and as they grow. Because like you said, if you maintain that same story, you hit the ceiling. And at that point in time, you're stuck because you can't get yourself out of your own way.
Absolutely. And then you're frustrated because it's not like you sit there and tell yourself, you know what I want to do? Stay stuck in this story today. No one said that, but you are frustrated because it's often where you are, what you're doing and how stuck you are. You can't see your way forward. And it often is a lot simpler of a response. You need to understand where you are, understand your growth, take credit for your growth and move forward. Experience your success and your challenges without staying stuck in the past.
Because otherwise, I've seen businesses slide backwards.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. How could you not?
Right. You can't pivot. You can't adjust. Your competition is trumping you on a multitude of different aspects. And if you're stuck and can't pivot and can't change the move in your head, eventually people are going to get tired of the scenario and you're going to start losing your team. And now you can't handle the workflow. It's a slope that you start sliding completely backwards. I've seen it happen.
Yep. Absolutely. Have you ever seen it reverse itself? And if so, I'm very curious to know how.
The only time I've ever seen it flip back is someone else came in and took over the reins.
Yeah, and they had a different mindset. They were telling a different story.
You look at it from a sales manager perspective, and that's where I've seen it, where you've had a sales manager leader that was more of a drill sergeant kind of approach, not really empowering their team, but this is the way we're doing it. And that's what you need to do. And your numbers aren't there and blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
And the team just isn't performing. Sales are going this way. And you get a replaced manager, someone that's empowering, someone that is edifying their team and not telling people what to do. A successful manager, in my mind, and fortunately, I got some training on this. Your job is to make your people successful. And if you make your people successful, you don't have to worry about yourself. They'll take care of you, right?
Absolutely.
So help them create their own stories of success, and yours will automatically manifest.
Absolutely. That's very interesting that you brought that up, because often people think, what is the legacy I'm leaving behind? What is this ultimate story? I believe that the wisest people realize that their ultimate story and the legacy to leave behind is actually the stories of others and how they help them move forward and tell a story over a period of time that was beneficial for themselves and for the world at large.
When you start helping other people achieve their goals and aspirations, magic happens, because they transcend to a whole other level and they pull you up, and then you become their champion. They become super fans of you. I've had some managers that I'm still in awe of their management skills, because they would come in when we would be working late on preparing technology over a presentation. They would show up late at night and say, hey, appreciate you guys being here. They would take the time out of their evening to come in. And we were like, wow, this person cares about what we do. And that person created to the point where we were super fans of that manager. And he helped implant a story into our heads that we were worthy, we were appreciated, and he cared about us. We would do anything for that guy.
Yeah, and that is someone who understood his role in your story. He understood that he was the guy, and you were the hero in the story. You guys were going on your own hero's journey. He also understood the collective power of people going on similar hero's journeys at once, looking towards the same guy. That is called leadership. That's called vision. That's called success. When someone can get you moving in that same direction and gratefully walking in that way.
I still remember, and I've shared that many times, because that person had an impact on us. It changed my outlook on how to handle and work with people. I became a very successful salesperson because I was no longer selling a product. I was helping a business scale their business and take it to the next level. We would get into conversations about strategy. What's their story and how can I help them achieve their story? And my job was to help them manifest their story. I was top sales guy in the company because I made my customers successful.
Yep, exactly. It sounds like you really got it. You really understand exactly what it takes.
Been around a little bit, so thank you. As we kind of get closer to the end here, what's a takeaway that we can share with our listeners that they can really do to help change the story in their head?
You have to be okay with doing the work. You have to be okay with not being correct. You have to be okay with facing up to yourself and to the shadowy places where it feels uncomfortable. You have to be honest with yourself on what your strengths are, where your pain comes from. You don't have to do it alone. You can do it with a therapist. You can do it with a coach. You can do it inside of my Spark the Stage program if you're wanting to be a professional speaker. You can also do it with a group of friends on the same journey, but you will not be able to create a profound story that serves yourself and others without first understanding what story you're telling about yourself and if it is serving you or not.
Very good. Because I remember a story that I told myself, and until I found out what that story was and needed to change it, I was very successful, lost it all, was very successful, lost it all. And I couldn't figure out why. I finally did figure it out, and it was a story that I had burned into my brain that I had to eradicate and replace with a new story.
And as soon as you do that and keep diligently doing it, because this is not a one-time thing, this is a constant story creation, storytelling, story retelling, story eliminating constantly. But once you're able to do that, you will experience long-term sustainable success.
Because you self-sabotage otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You get there and all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the details, but the bottom line was slid back down the hill because of the wrong story.
The wrong story. Happens every time.
It's been a pleasure having you on the Business Superfans podcast. Great conversation. Great insights for our listeners about creating their story in the way they envision their movie in their head to be.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
It was a great conversation again, and definitely would love to have you on the show again, because I think we could probably talk hours on this stuff. How can people find you?
You can go to aleyaharris.com, aleyaharris.com. And from there, you can buy my book, schedule a call with me to talk about my course, Article Stage, which helps you become a radically authentic professional speaker who can deliver a compelling talk to a captivated audience. You can also hang out with me on LinkedIn or Instagram. I hang out on LinkedIn the most, but I love to hear from you. If you hear more of my voice, check out my podcast as well.
Excellent. We'll definitely make sure that's in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time today, Aleya, and we look forward to having you on the show again.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook. Attract, advocate, and accelerate your business power move for today. Here's this episode's top insight. You don't need a dramatic life story to be a powerful public speaker. What moves people is the clarity and structure of your story, not the scale of your struggle. So here's your business growth action step. Craft a 3-minute story using a proven structure like problem, turning point, lesson that connects emotionally with your ideal audience, and rehearse it until it becomes your signature story. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, share it with a fellow business leader who would benefit, and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who champion your brand. That's a wrap on this episode of the Business Superfans podcast. Got value? Do one thing, smash that subscribe button. Now it's game time. Put those action takeaways into play. Catch you next episode. It's loaded with game-changing insights to help you level up.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.